Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, be at peace unto you. I'm so glad that I could join you and rejoice together in the promises of our Heavenly Father and to learn from His beautiful words that are recorded in some sections of the Holy Bible. My wish is to share with you from God's Word a subject entitled The New Creation. The brother is repeating everything, but in the Polish language this time. He's sending greetings from Poljany, from the meeting in Ternopil, and all the brethren from Ukraine. Thank you. The new creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. God created our globe, and He created man last, Adam and Eve. And on the seventh day, God ended His work, which He had made. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work, which He had made. Genesis 2, verse 2. Further, in this chapter, we are told that God made him in a paradise, a garden, in Eden, a pleasant place. And in the east, he planted man, so as he would rule and attend to it. Verses 8 and 15. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Verses 21 and 22 in Genesis 2. In the third chapter, we are told that Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate the fruit of the forbidden tree. And for this, they were banished from the paradise and sentenced to death. From then, all Adam's progeny were born with a death sentence. In John 3:16, we read, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This was nearly 2,000 years ago. God sent his Son so that he would be born as a man and be able to redeem Adam and his progeny. In Romans 4:25, we read about our Lord Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. God created the earth and Adam and knew in advance that Adam would not obey and would fall and die. That is why in his plan he foresaw the redemption of mankind. Apostle Peter refers to this. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. The Bible begins with the following words. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Genesis 1:1-2. These words state that the heavens were created in the very beginning, apart from all spiritual beings, angels of different ranks. The highest ranked angel was created at the very start, was the only begotten Son of God, the Logos. In Polish, the word, he was given the highest glory, far above all other spiritual beings. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning of God. With all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Job 38:4-7, it is written, "Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." When the time came to create man, God the Father turns to the Son, and God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Genesis 1:26. Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." Colossians 1:15-17. It was then that the Logos and His Father created both heaven and earth. The Logos and all the spiritual beings had everlasting life on the condition that they would be obedient to the Father. Only the Heavenly Father possessed immortality then. Only the Heavenly Father possessed immortality then. However, before the creation of earth, God the Father decided to create a new creation who will also receive the same life as the Father has, immortality. The first one to receive this reward of immortality was His firstborn Son, our Lord, who as a result of His faithfulness to His Father and for so greatly humbling Himself, was given this reward. Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Philippians 2:5-11, writes, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." He was in God's image, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, Philippians 2:6, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. In his letter to Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 5, Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Ephesians 1:3-5. These words state that not only was Jesus to become the new creation, but that God decided to choose from mankind a certain class, the church, who also are to become a new creation and receive immortality. Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 writes, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." 2 Peter 1:3-4. During the whole gospel age, beginning from the sending of the Holy Spirit and Pentecost, the church is being chosen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In order to be a member of the body of Christ, one has to display many efforts. And Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, 1-3 states, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked." 2 Corinthians 5, 1-3. To be found naked possibly refers to those who will not receive a resurrection, as life without a body is impossible. This new creation class will be composed of 144,000. Revelation 7:4. Christ calls it his little flock. In Luke 12:32-37, our Lord says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." Luke 12:32-37. Here Christ speaks about a second advent. This reminds us of the parable of the man who returns from a wedding. A wedding is a symbol of joy, to which our Lord has entered after his ascension. This is not referring to the knocking, but about the signs that fulfill the prophecy. The most convincing signs are the fig tree and other trees. This shows that in the type of Joseph, Christ provides bread to his brothers, but does not allow himself to be recognized. The world will never see our Lord with their literal eyes. Yet so many Christians expect this. They will see him with the eyes of their understanding and see him coming in the clouds of the great tribulation. Today we still have grace from our Father, as we still have an opportunity to meet freely, to study God's Word, and to organize conventions. Such grace is provided by our Heavenly Father, so that we can fill ourselves with spiritual strength, so that when the dark night comes, we can be able to endure in our faith, hope, and love. The new creation, the church, also is shown in figure as a future bride of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3, Apostle Paul states, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." In Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 32, he states, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands, in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. This picture of the husband and wife points to Christ and his church. This was shown in the first man and wife, Adam and Eve, whom God created. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, it is written, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man." The man Adam. Brother Russell comments on these words as follows, "In this there is a picture that the church, the bride of Christ, was formed from his injured side as a result of the sleep of death that our Lord had to endure. The prophet Isaiah, in chapter 9, verse 6, states, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." If he is to be a father, then he must have children. The Father is the one who gives life. Christ redeemed Adam, and in him all his progeny. Psalm 45, verse 17 reads, I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. In Galatians 4:26, Paul writes, But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. This refers to the church that is shown as a mother. In Revelations chapter 21, verse 2, Apostle John states, And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her own husband. The adornment of the new creation, the church, is recorded in Psalms 43, 14 through 16 verses. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. The companions of the church are the great multitude, and they are mentioned in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, and 14 and 15. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. In the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 1, Apostle Paul writes, Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. This states that the heavenly calling is only during the gospel age. It is the only call to become a new creation. This is also confirmed by the apostle in Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. In Matthew 22, verse 14, Jesus says, For many are called, but few are chosen. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 and 25, encourages all the called ones. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Those who are to receive the crown are the new creation, the church. Those who run but do not run like the first ones will receive eternal life, similar to that of angels. These are the virgins, the companions of the church, and they are mentioned in Psalm 45, verse 15. In Revelation 20, verse 6, it is written, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. This will be a kingdom for which we pray, and which our forefather Adam lost. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ redeemed us. Then will come the time of which Jesus spoke. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation or judgment." John 5:28-29. Then Isaiah's prophecy will be fulfilled. "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning brooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." Isaiah 2:2-4. Further in chapter 35, verses 8-10, the prophet Isaiah continues, "A highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there." Here, according to Peter in 1 Peter 5:8-9. There is figurative language of the devil, who will be destroyed with eternal death, and any vicious beast. The governments of this world, about which Daniel speaks of in Daniel 7, verses 3 and 4. As having a similar character to beasts, they throughout history have led and still lead bloody wars, destroying one another. No, he will not be walking on it, or... No, he will not be walking on it, or will he be found there, but the saved shall walk on it. And the ransomed of the Lord will return, and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Amen.